This morning we began, they're doing abortions today, part one. And this will be part two of the abortion series, and I haven't yet titled this particular message. This morning's was The Tiny One. And I want to give you some more statistics tonight, show you some overheads, and continue on this thought. Then I'll leave it alone for a while, and then we'll come back to it as the Lord leads. But how many have learned some things today that you didn't know? Man, I was really amazed at how illiterate I was concerning this tremendous issue today in the world. I was really illiterate. But they're doing abortions today. First, I want to start off with Genesis chapter 4. We'll draw some principles from the Word of God. Then I'll give you some statistics. In Genesis chapter 4, we read about Cain and Abel. Back in Genesis 3:15, we find there are two seeds. Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. There would always be enmity, God said, between those two seeds. Cain was serpent seed, even though he came from the same woman. And Abel was seed of the woman. Cain killed Abel, and his blood cried out. Do you remember that story? So we have Cain. High technology there. Two nails and an easel. I'm not going to read this, but I just want to point it out to you that, well, let's do read a little bit. Verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? So I want to ask you, am I my brother's keeper? What do you think? Do you think that we should say something, that we should make a stand against the issue of abortion? Are we our brother's keeper? These tiny ones. These tiny ones. Who's going to keep them? Who's going to stand up for them if the church doesn't? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now Cain, art thou cursed. You're cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Verse 15. The Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain. We read this morning from Ezekiel 9, and there were some people that had a mark on them, remember? This is another mark. Two marks in the Bible, mark of the beast and the mark of the Lord. Cain's received the mark of the beast. It's a protection mark, but it's still a mark. So, Cain killed the seed. Let's go on, look at some scriptures. Let's go to the Leviticus 19. Oh, praise the Lord. I really wanted to bring those out too. Left them in there. Lance, go to my office and on my desk. There's two papers written in there about Moloch. Leviticus 19. The 19th chapter of Leviticus, 18. Did I say 19? 18. The 18th chapter of Leviticus speaks about several things that the Lord condemns. When you start reading down through there, you'll find first he speaks about incest. You'll find he speaks about adultery. Some of those things you can even read, and you can see he's speaking there about some pornography. And then verse 21. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind, homosexuality, as with womankind, lesbianism. It is what? Abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast, beasticism, to bestiology. That's good. to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled. The nations are what? They're defiled, which I cast out before you got here. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomit out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these, what? Abominations. In Ezekiel 9, we were reading about those that sigh and cry because of what? The abominations in the land. These are the abominations of God. Incest, adultery, pornography, homosexuality, lesbianism. Verse 27. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. What do you think God thinks about this land today? Now look, we read this morning from Revelation chapter 3, and we read those verses there considering the church at Laodicea. And what is the primary thing that you always remember about the church of Laodicea? He says, I will what? Spew you out of my mouth. Now look what he says here about the land and those when those abominations come into the land. That the land spew, don't keep these abominations so the land won't spew you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinances, and ye commit and you commit not any of these abominable customs that were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. So we see there many, many of the things that are abominable to the Lord and that are abominations right today in this very city. But what verse 21 is what we're talking about tonight. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch. Okay? Oh, I wished I had this overhead. Meant to make it. I'll have to read it to you. The World Book, Volume 13, page 581 says this. Moloch, also spelled Molech, was an idol worshipped especially by the ancient Phoenicians and Amorites. From them, the idol-worshipping heretics of Israel borrowed the custom of sacrificing babies on the altar of Moloch, or else casting them on the lap of his image after it had been heated red hot. The Bible forbids this worship. Leviticus 18:21, 20, 3 through 5. Kings Ahaz and Manasseh of Judah built altars to Moloch in the valley of Hinnom outside the walls of Jerusalem. King Josiah ended the practice. So worship of Moloch was what we would call today abortion, the killing of the baby. Now, abortion, of course, is defined as killing the baby before it comes from the womb, and it can't live. But in typology, it's still killing the baby. Amen. Now, what they did is they had this big brazen god, and his hands were like this. They'd heat him up, red hot, take the baby from the father, and lay him in the hands of Moloch while they beat drums, so they couldn't hear the screaming of the child. Now, this is from my theological word book of the Old Testament, volume 1, page 509. The name found in the Hebrew Bible for the pagan male deity, presumably borrowed from Israel's neighbors, to whom apostate Israelites sacrificed infants in the valley of Hinnom. Moloch was a favorite of the Ammonites, worshipped by human sacrifices and gives scriptures. But the god and the dreadful practice of infant sacrifice in his honor were carried by northern Canaanite people throughout the Mediterranean area. The biblical thought of Moloch is connected forever with the ultimate and apostate worship of a false divine king by the people who should have worshiped only Jehovah. The two worst apostates among the kings of Israel, the two worst apostate kings of Israel were Ahab and Manasseh. They promoted it in the ravine later called Gehenna. Now, who remembers that ravine of Gehenna? Does anybody know what Jesus said about the ravine of Gehenna? That's where he says, "The worm dieth not, and the fire burneth forever and forever." This is the same place they sacrificed these babies, called Gehenna, which became the name thereby of eternal hell fire. David Kimchi says the image of Moloch was brass and was hollow. A fire was kindled within the idol. When the extended hands became hot, Moloch's priest, taking the babe from its father's hands, placed it in Moloch's hands to be accompanied by drums to prevent the father from hearing the screams of his dying offspring. That's from the Theological Word Book. So again, we see Moloch. See Cain. We see Moloch. We see something still before the seed to devour it. Moloch. Is it an abomination?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Let me give you, you that are taking notes, let me give you scriptures on Moloch so that you can write them down. Besides this one, look in Leviticus chapter 20, verses 2, 3, 4, and 5. 1 Kings 11, 7. 1 Kings 11, 7 is talking about King Solomon. Do you know what drew away King Solomon from the worship of the Lord? Huh? His wives and his concubines to worship idols. One of those was Moloch. 2 Kings 23, 10, King Josiah. Jeremiah 32, 35. Amos 5, 26. Acts 7, 43. So it's not just mentioned one time. It's a principle throughout the Bible. It's a principle throughout the scriptures, Moloch. The sacrificing of children or infants, killing them. Let's go to, Luke. And what I want is Herod, where he came and killed the babies. Is that Matthew or is that Luke? Must be Matthew. Matthew 2:16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children, all the seed, that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Cain, Moloch, Herod. Revelation 12. If the church does not rise up and stand and say, "We will not allow this to happen anymore," are we any better than Cain?
No.
Two of you aren't. If we do not rise up and say, "We will not have it, we'll not stand for it any longer, and we're just going to come against it with all of our might," are we any better than Cain? Are we going the way of Cain if we keep allowing the baby's blood to go to the earth and cry out and say, "How long?"
Amen.
Are we any better than Moloch?
No.
Are we any better than Herod?
Worse.
Show you one more. Verse 2, chapter 12, Revelation. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for devour her child as soon as it was born. I saw a dragon driving a Honda last Thursday. Are we any better than Cain if we do not do something about abortion? Are we any better than Moloch? Are we any better than Herod? Are we Cain? Let's get really down, really where I'm at now, okay? What I'm really hearing. What I heard Saturday as I began to sigh and cry for the abomination that's in the land. If we allow it to continue, are we supporting it? Amen. If we're silent about it, are we just as well as supporting it?
Amen.
Then if by supporting it, are we Cain? Are we Moloch? Are we Herod? Then who's the dragon? I'm presenting to you principles. I'm hoping you're hearing me. What I'm saying is this. Arise and shine. Let's get up and do something. I don't want to be associated with Cain. I don't want to be associated with Herod. I don't want to be associated with Moloch. I don't want to be associated with the dragon. But if I continue to remain silent about the fact of abortion in the land, knowing that it's an abomination, knowing now what I know, then I'm no better. Can you agree with that or disagree?
Amen.
As I was sitting in my office Saturday morning, I was quickened that in my spirit and my heart, and I began to cry and weep. Delbert's been quiet too long about abortion. She's been quiet too long. He's done nothing about it. But on the average, of course, most abortion clinics were closed today. But on the average, guess how many babies died today? Today, while we've been sitting here talking about it. 4,000. 4,000 whose blood went into the ground is crying out to God. 4,000 offered to Moloch. 4,000 slain by Herod. 4,000 consumed of the dragon. Are you hearing my principle? March the 6th, 1857. The U.S. Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, decided a very controversial question. It was called the Dred Scott case. The court decided once and for all that a black person was not really a person. Legally, a black is not a person. He was a slave and was the property of the owner. He could be bought, he could be sold, or he could be killed. The owner's decision. Those who opposed slavery voiced themselves. And this is what they heard. So you oppose slavery. So it's against your belief. You don't have to own a slave. But don't impose your morals and your belief on the slave owners. He has his legal rights. The Supreme Court has said so. What ended slavery? Some people were willing to die to see that abomination ended. Some people were willing to die to see that Supreme Court decision changed. And it took a bloody civil war to bring it to an end. But did it come to an end? So in January 1973, 22nd day, the Supreme Court decided a very controversial question. Roe versus Wade case. The court decided once and for all that unborn humans were not legally persons. An unborn baby was the property of the owner, who is the mother. And she could have the baby killed or allow it to live at her decision. The ruling was final, and it was the highest court in the land. Those like us who oppose abortion today say, we don't like it. We won't have it. And this is what you hear back. So you oppose abortion. So it's against your morals and against your beliefs. You don't have to have an abortion, but don't impose your beliefs on someone else. The mother has the right to decide. The Supreme Court said so. So I want to ask you, what will it take? What's it going to take to end this abomination in the land? Is there ever going to be a people who will stand up and say, I'm willing to die. I'm willing to die because this is an abomination in the land. Something's happening today in the world. I believe it's in the world. I know it's in me. It's in my world. Something's rising up and saying, I'll die.
Amen.
I'm coming to a place. There's no sense in it. It's ridiculous. It's ludicrous. It's inhumane. It's murder.
Amen.
And until a people is ready to die for it, it'll be here. Let me show you the parallels if I've got that one. Slavery. The Dred Scott case, 1857. Abortion. Roe versus Wade case, 1973. 72 decision by the Supreme Court. 72 decision by the Supreme Court. Blacks, a non-person. Unborns, a non-person. Slaves, the property of an owner. An unborn baby is the property of his owner, his mother. Slave, by owner's choice, he could buy him, he could sell him, or he could kill him. Unborn baby by the mother's choice, can live or die. Abolitionists could not impose the belief on owners of the slaves. Pro-lifers and the church should not impose their beliefs on the mothers. Slavery is legal. Supreme Court said so. Abortion is legal. Supreme Court said so. What do you think about that? How long, O Lord? How long before your vengeance is poured out upon this abominable land? How long? You think God's going to allow this much longer? I'll show you some figures in a minute. How many babies have died? In 1982, there was 1 million. Write these down, have more impact. In 1982, 1,573,920 legal abortions. Now that's the latest figure I could come up with. 1982 is higher than that now. All right. We add to that the illegal abortions, which is estimated at about 300,000. So just to round it off, we'll say there's 1,800,000 abortions in 1982. Live births remain around 3,600,000 per year. So what I'm showing you there is that one out of three babies, nearly one, every third baby is killed by abortion. As we read this morning, if it was not for the influx of people into this nation and the longer life rate, our population would be declining. If I told you that some cities had more abortions than they had lives, would you believe me? In the year 1978, these cities had more abortions than births. Atlanta, Georgia. Atlantic City. Charlotte. Columbia, South Carolina. Gainesville. Harrisburg. Iowa City. Madison. Miami. Raleigh. Reno. Richmond, Virginia. San Francisco. Seattle. Toronto. And Washington, D.C. All had more abortions than births. Where are we going? Where are we coming to? What's happening? Are we so brainwashed that we can't see what's going on? Repeat abortions. In 1974, there were 21% repeats. That's 1 year after it's legalized. 1975, 38% repeat abortions. 1978, 30% repeat abortions. I need a holder on this thing. Let me give you this. Planned Parenthood states that there are 1 million teenage pregnancies every year. 1 million. Now that's a misleading figure because 280,000 of these teenage pregnancies are married. Already. 100,000 of these get married. So that leaves 620,000 unmarried girls. Just giving you some thoughts. Out of this 620,000, 9,632 are under age 14. 1984 figures. World Book. I want to give you a comparison between abortion and ethical surgery. And I'll be raising that up so we can get it all. I know you guys can't see well over here, but I'll try to keep it up high. Comparison between abortion and ethical surgery. Okay? Payment. When you go to the abortion clinic, it's cash at the door. Is that the way you work, Ted? That's the way you work, Roger? Man, you don't get it. One, we saw one couple, they pulled in, they went in for about 10 minutes, they came back out. I said, where are they going? He said, they're going to get money. They came to find out how much it was. That's what Charlie told me. They don't have enough cash. The abortion is $200 if it's under. See, he gave them to me. I'm gonna try. Now, this may not be exact, so don't hold me to this, but I'm trying to remember. If it's $200, if it's under 8 weeks, if I'm not 8 to 12 weeks, if it's under that, it's $200. If it's 12 to 14 weeks, it's $300, and $400 if it's over that. Pathologic exam at the abortion clinic is seldom. Ted's office is routine. Advertising. That was interesting to me. I asked Charlie about that. I said, you mean these guys advertise this stuff? He said, yeah. Send out their brochures to all the clinics and doctor's offices. Abortion's advertised routinely. Rarely does a physician do it. Counseling. I put usually a farce because that's what the book said. I would have written, it's a joke. Physician does it if it's needed. Second opinion. Never. Physician's office if needed. Informed consent. Legally not required. Doctor's office, it's always. Kickbacks, sometimes and never. Record keeping. Abortion clinic, it's sketchy. Real doctor's office, it's in detail. Preoperative examination. In an abortion clinic, you won't be examined until the girl's laying on the table. Physician's office is mandatory and detailed. Correct diagnosis. This was neat. 10 to 15% of the abortions done are on women that are not even pregnant. There's a clinic in, Charlie told me that this morning. There's a clinic up in, I won't say Knoxville, but that might not be proper, but I won't say where it's at. Tell me about a clinic this morning that's in cahoots partnership with this one in Chattanooga. And, that particular clinic was caught for doing abortions upon women who weren't pregnant. What they did is they sent some police women in there and had the abortion test. Yeah, you're pregnant. Had them on the table. Police come in and arrested them. Took them all off. But it's still in operation. Husband's consent. Not needed for an abortion. It's expected. The licensed physician. Husband informed. Not necessary. Always. Consent of parents. Moms and dads, your daughter can go to an abortion clinic and you'll never know it. You'll never know it. They don't have to tell you. It's mandatory for anything else. Sound fishy? Parents informed, seldom. Legally required. Tissue disposal. Look at that. Where is an abortion, whatever's taken out, where is it disposed? Be quiet. Where is it disposed? It's in the garbage. Burial. Where's burial? Is that sad? Surgical training. For abortion clinic, it's not required. It's absolutely required. Anything else? Non-medical reasons. Look at that. Am I shaking too much for you? Non-medical reasons. 99% of abortions are simply because they do not want the baby. 1% is because there is a medical reason behind the abortion. It's the opposite for anything else. There's about 1% that's not for medical reasons. It's from the book Abortion Questions and Answers by Dr. and Mrs. J.C. Wilkie. Go ahead. No, leave it off, Don. I'm going to go ahead and get this over. What has taken the most lives? Revolutionary War? Civil War? World War I? World War II? Korean War? Vietnam War? Or the War on the Unborn? American War Casualties. Revolutionary War took 25,324. Civil War, 498,332. World War I, 116,708. World War II, 407,316. The Korean War, 54,246. Vietnam War, 58,655. War on the Unborn, 1982 stats. 15 million. The dragon's before the woman. And he's devouring the seed. He's devouring the child. It's always been that way. This one's going to be here until some people, honestly and with their whole heart, stop it. Name it for what it is. Give themselves to it. And end it. This is the world we live in today. Most sophisticated, knowledgeable, and we're still offering babies to Moloch. We're still going the way of Cain. We're still allowing Herod to run rampant across our nation and our world. We're still allowing the dragon to devour the child. It's enough for tonight. I'm trying to really control it, but when you deal with these figures 3 and 4 days and you see the same thing over and over and over again, it kind of gets to you. So I'm trying to camouflage my anger and my hurt. But I want to ask you, have you seen something today that this caused something to rise up in you and say, what in the world are we doing? What kind of system are we living in? What kind of a perverted system? People. And again, let me say this. I need to say this. For the tape's sake and probably somebody here. I'm angry at the system. I'm not angry at the poor girl. I'll pray for the girl. I have mercy on the girl. I ask the girl to ask the Lord to forgive, and His mercy and His grace and His blood takes care of all of that. He's forgiving. But it's the system I want to damn.
Amen.
I want to curse it. Amen. I want to crush it. I can't stand it. It's sickening. It's grotesque. It's an abomination. So we'll leave this alone for a while until the Lord brings it back and says, minister again. But I want you to pray, and I want you to ask God what He wants you to do. Several came to me this morning, Joyce King and Mark Weed, and said, Delbert, next time you go up, let me know. I'll go with you. I want every person here to go up there. I want you to see that. I want you to stand toe-to-toe and eyeball-to-eyeball with a 16-year-old girl heading for an abortion clinic. Hand her a leaflet. Tell her you want to help her. It does something to you.